You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of June 2nd, 2015, and I hope your NVIDIA card is beard ready, because we're talking about The Witcher 3.
Them beard physics. Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alborn.
My name's Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of Witcher beards. That's not true.
Nah, I should tell you that I'm leaving the podcast to find my true calling of being a Witcher.
A Witchering.
Yeah.
You know what? Ever since I was a child, I've wanted to Witcher.
See, these eyes, these aren't contacts.
these are actual... Oh, man. I don't know if I could podcast with you if you wore, like, cat contacts.
Well, what if I bleached my hair white?
I think if you bleached your hair white and you had cat contacts, we would have a very different podcast.
Far more popular and disturbing.
This week on the show, we're talking a little bit about The Witcher. It's not quite an early debrief because neither Scott or I are really that deep into the game, but
first impressions.
There are some first impressions, and I think there's some interesting topics that come around one or both of ours. Sort of gradual entry into the game. So we wanted to talk a little bit about that. I've maybe played maybe an hour of The Witcher. You know, I did some story stuff, ran it around, killed some wolves. You are much deeper in, correct?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know a good way to describe it because the game is so open. Like, some of the side quests last forever.
Yep.
But I feel like I'm at a point where there is a significant character has arisen.
His name is Geralt.
And I would still suspect that I'm probably 10 hours or less, but still like a good chunk into the game.
Okay. I mean, this is one of the hotly anticipated games.
Yes.
This year.
Okay.
Because
which is already something that is super interesting to me.
Well, I mean, I think it's hotly anticipated for two reasons. Yeah. One is the fans of Witcher 1 and 2 are very passionate about the game series.
Yes.
Because it's been one that has been relatively well received critically for those who are willing to put in a lot of effort to come to appreciate that game. So in some ways it's very much in, I mean, again, it's a Eastern European studio, CDP, and those individuals who are willing to embrace what is, you know, traditionally a Eastern European sort of feel, right? You get games like Risen and things like that that are not super user-friendly and require a lot of upfront effort. The people who actually commit are really passionate about that genre, and those types of games only come out once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
When did Witcher 2 come out anyway? 2012?
Yeah, 11, it was maybe? Years ago. Plus, I mean, like, it had a very active post-launch life. Like, it went through significant patches and also significant mods that are now looked at as, like, I actually think that they hired one of the main modders to work on Witcher 3, which is like a crazy like old 1990s video game story, you know?
Well, and you know, CDP helped those legs continue moving because they own Good Old Games.
Yeah.
And so there were consistently sales for The Witcher and Witcher 2, both on Good Old Games and on Steam. I know I picked up Witcher 2 and played another hour of it or so. The first year period of time as well. So, you know, people have had the opportunity to get their hands on it, and at this point, if you're a fan of the series, it's very much something to look forward to. I think the other reason people looked forward to it is because it promised a sort of the utmost extreme of visual glamour, if you will, right? When this premiered at, what, E3 2 years ago,
something like that.
It sort of looked gorgeous. It was like, we're promising to bring you this crazy open world game. Anything is possible, just like you often see with most open world games. I think it's sold very extremely, right? Like, this needs to be one of the biggest, best open world games you'll ever experience. And so there was a lot of anticipation around it because people felt, especially those familiar with The Witcher, that if anyone could get that done, it was CDP. I think generally speaking, besides some of the weird kerfuffle over visual downgrades, I mean, it's relatively successfully launched, right? I mean, the world is freaking massive. There's a lot to do. I think it looks pretty good.
It's shockingly large.
Shockingly large.
Like, I mean, just walking around where I just, you just walk through whole forests where it's like, I did zero in this forest besides walk through it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just there to build up this immense world.
It's like the very first time you get lost in a foreign city and you're like, whoa. Yeah. If I disappeared here, no one would ever know I was gone.
Fucking weird, you know, bog monster or whatever.
Call them scoppers.
Scoppers, yeah. I think I have a cynical reason why I think people were really into this.
Okay. Was it because we have been waiting for Sean Connery lookalikes for a while? Gray hair. Silver Fox is in right now.
That's actually one facet of it. I think people are just starved for games to play on their new console.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably true.
And this other, you know, I think games are...
This is the next geniest of next gen.
Yeah, it is. I think this is... Games have been slow to arrive to this current gen. Mm-hmm. And I think that every... And I think... Games like Bloodborne also benefited from this.
Yeah.
Like, I think people are starved to play new games, and, like, well, it benefits games like
this. I don't know if I would call that cynical, though, right? Like, I feel like that's an okay reason to anticipate a game and be excited for it, right?
But I think that it fires people up that wouldn't normally be into that sort of game, and it allows developers to kind of pitch their game, which, again, is, I guess you're right. Well, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but right. it allows people, like, From Software and CDP... not traditionally your most, like, user-friendly of developers out there, to be like, buy this game, it'll totally be fine. And actually, it's like, oh, this is like these are some of the most arcane video games you could possibly play. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, literally, and
they deal with the arcane.
They deal with the arcane. Yeah. I mean, when I woke up and there were runes all over my bedroom floor, I didn't know what was going on.
The great ones, the ancient ones,
it's
told me.
It's the Witcher. What other things can we make a verb that is a profession? Like, you know, I guess you're a plumber. Is that what, so witchers and plumbers.
Oh, so I'm like just a single. Out loud here, yeah. Like, well, I mean,
plumbers, like firefighters.
Cook, you know, you're cooking.
That's true.
You're a cooker. You're not a cooker, though.
You're not a cooker. That's exactly right.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I think that's where we should actually get into this game a little bit.
The witchering aspect.
Yeah. Let's talk about, because again, you know, there's not gonna be too many spoilers here because I'm only at most, you know, 7 to 10 hours into a. Whatever, 200 hour game or something.
I mean, my understanding of the world of The Witcher is that of like a wee child. I don't know anything that's going on.
But I think one of the main reasons that we're talking about this is that there's a very real possibility that neither George nor I will see this game through.
Yeah.
But we still want to talk about it a little bit. And I think that in and of itself, that we're both having the same reaction independently of each other. Because I texted you the other day and I was like, ooh, George, I don't know if I'm going to keep playing this. And George's like, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And, like, we hadn't talked about The Witcher at all until that conversation.
It was pure coincidence, yeah. You know, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I agree. I think it's kind of weird because, objectively, this has all of the right pieces, right? Like, this is what you put in a tasty video game stew, right? Yeah. Like, it has the carrots, it's got the potatoes.
It's got the griffin head,
all the weird herbs that you can pick along the road. You know, it's got everything that I would want, right? I mean, it's a massive world. It's a epic story. It's in a fantasy world. It's a relatively new IP, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, there are elements...
For non-Polish people, it's a relatively fresh...
Yeah, I mean, you know, my experience of The Witcher is an hour of gambling in a hut and losing everything and never playing the game again, right? So this is an opportunity to explore a different world. And, you know, I'm also coming off of playing Bloodborne, which is just another large epic world, so I'm sort of primed, you would think. I finished playing Dragon Age Inquisition a while back, which again is the same sort of style, right? A massive world, a lot to do, very gorgeous, weird creatures and animals, like a lot of good world building, fantasy and magic and swords and cool stuff like that. So why is it then that it's so difficult to get into so far? And I'm hoping that someone convinces me to stick it out.
Yeah, yeah. Let's start narratively, because I think I have more patience for the world itself than you have.
You definitely do, yeah. I mean, there's something about Geralt that I just find really... I mean, he's really brooding, right? Like, I compared him to...
Is it the gravelly voice?
It's definitely the gravelly voice, for sure.
Christian Bale, I mean, as...
It's not just that, though, right? Like, it's very self-serious. Like, this world is not a fun one to be in.
Mm.
And it almost has a sort of Game of Thrones... feel, right?
Yeah,
like, definitely. It takes place in a world that's already at war. It's been at war for a while. There's monsters everywhere. And it doesn't... You know, I think that the way that I would describe my reaction to The Witcher right now is one of fatigue in basically every way possible right now. And that's not to blame The Witcher at all, right? It's the same reason why it can be hard to go from one television show to another if they're the same sort of thematic piece of content, right? Yeah. Like,
you go from The Wire to The Shield, then it's like, oh, okay, I'm yeah, done. Yeah,
like, you know, we have a lot of, and we've played a lot of sort of dark fantasy games. I read dark fantasy novels and watch dark fantasy TV shows. You know, I religiously watch Game of Thrones every Sunday. You know, I've read Name of the Wind a couple times. Like, there's plenty of sort of epic fantasy worlds that I've been in, and maybe I'm at a point right now where what I really want is this sort of weird and wacky, right? Like, there are some characters in BioWare's Dragon Age that are silly and weird, right? Like, this weird dwarf writes romance novels that this Cassandra person eats up, and there's this weird sort of jovial silliness to it. And that silliness is kind of a breath of fresh air when you're consuming so much media that is just, like, dark and oppressive. And I just don't know if I've caught on yet to the air of, like, joviality that this world might have. Maybe it doesn't exist.
You can be kind of sarcastic as Geralt. Like, there's a lot of dialogue choices, and some of them are actually kind of funny. Like, because you can just be kind of a jerk to people, like, and kind of a...
But that, I don't know if I don't want to be a jerk, though. I want to be silly to, like, friends and stuff.
Well, okay, he doesn't have a lot of friends.
So, okay, yeah, exactly right. So who is Geralt's friends? Vesemir.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think there are some things that if you don't like it, there's just no explaining it.
Like, yeah, and that's fine. Yeah. Like, this might not be a game for me, and I feel like it probably is a game for me, just not right now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because, like, The Witcher, like, by their very nature, the Witchers are pariahs.
Yeah.
I think the idea of a long time ago, two universes, two, like, string theory or whatever, like, they intersected just briefly enough so that a bunch of monsters got spawned in, and then we've been cleaning it up ever since.
You're saying in real life or in The Witcher?
I mean, whichever.
Sure. Well, I mean, this explains the lizard government, right?
Yeah, okay. But I like that idea where it's like, the Witchers are just kind of like the garbage men of this world.
The plumbers.
Yeah, they're plumbers.
The Mario brothers.
That's why some people just look down on them, where it's like, your job is to just kill all of the griffins that came through the portal.
But that's like looking down on, like, firemen, because it's like a dirty job. Like, hey, these guys are...
Spoiler alert, plenty of people do look down on blue collar people, so that's why it's like, it's kind of like, true. It's kind of a funny thing,
but then
where it's
too real though. Like, do I want to play that experience of, like, oh man, I'm, you know, I get to be shunned and spit upon by strangers who don't know anything about me.
It is certainly, I do, and again, if you're just not in the mood for it, you're just not in the mood for it, but there's no, I don't think there's a good way of finding, of latching on to something and carrying yourself through it if you're not into it.
Yeah.
You know, like, with Dragon Age, you might be able to latch on to something, but like, okay, well, I'm not really that into the main thing.
I mean, we've talked about this before, but surely you forced yourself to finish a game that you just weren't feeling, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, did you ever come around? Like, has there ever been a point when you're playing a game that you were like, oh, this isn't good, and then it grabs hold of you for whatever reason? Like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe this is one of those games, right, where in order for me to fall in love with The Witcher, I just have to commit to, like, you know, 15, 20 hours, right? Yeah. I mean, this is an expansive game. My understanding is that even if you stick just to the story, it's like a 60-hour game.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of different numbers, but they're all in the double digits.
Right.
And mostly the mid to high double digits. But, I mean, I think that is... I guess I'm going back to, like, what is pushing me forward. And I think... it is, for now, mostly the story. I'm starting to scratch the surface a little bit more with, like, the combat and stuff, but the thing that's giving me pause is actually the game mechanics themselves.
Right.
I don't know. I feel really bad just talking shit about a game, especially a game that everyone likes, because it makes me sound like a hipster or whatever.
Well, especially one we haven't finished.
But I put in a lot of time.
Yeah.
And, like, I put in hours and hours of this game, and there's no two ways about it. This game feels janky.
Yeah.
Like, the control is, like, the dead zone on the sticks are weird. The momentum of the character is strange. It's really hard to maneuver Geralt in tight spaces. Like,
yeah.
You know, people are flying through the walls.
He's a big dude. I have trouble maneuvering in tight spaces.
It's just, I don't know. Like, there's something about, like, the level of, like, roughness around each one of the edges of this game that is like, oh my gosh, it's like, you guys worked on this game for years. Like, you couldn't have made this guy feel like he's just not like skating across the land instead of actually, walking on, grass or mud or whatever. Sure. Like, it's just,
he has rollerblades on.
I think it does not help that we came off of Bloodborne.
I agree.
Because, Bloodborne is, such a, exquisitely physical game. Everything feels tangible in that game.
I mean, I said it before. I think Bloodborne is ruining all other video games for me for a while.
Exactly. Every button press in The Witcher is kind of mushy. You press the square button, and it's I'm about 80% sure that my sword will swing. But only 80%.
Yeah.
If I'm going to try to get on this horse, I'm only about 50% of the way that I'm going to get on this horse. I know I see the button prompt and I know what button to press, but it is no guarantee that this is going to happen. Well, you barely see
the button prompt because the font is so small.
That is another thing. The fit and finish around this game, especially because it's so focused on crafting and weapons upgrades and whatever, the UI is, it's just abysmal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is rough. It makes Bloodborne look completely transparent, it is tiny little grids full of and let's get really nerdy for a second, the freaking typeface of this game, they need to watch the Helvetica documentary or something, because it's mm-hmm. you don't choose a tall narrow font when your people are going to be playing this from any distance away.
Hard hitting game criticism, folks. Get your typeface right, damn it.
I'm just saying, there are tiny little things where it's oh, this would never happen in a Nintendo game.
Would this be better in Comic Sans? That's my question.
It would be better in Comic Sans, because Comic Sans is at least a large, wide font rather than a small, skinny, tall font.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of, orange font and, white
on brown.
Yeah,
on
it's weird. It's and every single, this potion is the exact same potion icon, but just palette swapped. So it's really hard to see, okay, what does this mean versus the other one? There's just a lot of little things where it's the visual design of this game is makes it harder. I feel like I have a headache when I'm playing the game.
I feel really old. I sit probably 8 feet away from my television.
It's a pretty reasonable,
reasonable. I'm pretty sure that's FDA approved distance from viewing distance. I feel so old squinting in, and I feel like that's a good metaphor for the game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the way that the menu system is open to you right away, and the way that you can sort of already start scrapping material and looking at your alchemy trees and navigating the items menu, and even the way that the items take up spots, and I can already see that there's so much depth and complexity to some of those systems that for me to get a sense of the whole, I'm gonna have to really focus for a second.
Yeah.
And I just don't think I have that patience yet. And I think this is one of the reasons why doling out slowly the complexity of a game is used so often, even if people feel like, oh, I'm ready, I can take it, I can handle it, give it to me completely. You kind of want to dole it out, because otherwise it's really easy to feel overwhelmed and just move on, right? And that's what I've done so far. I've just been I don't want to touch the interface.
Yeah.
I'm just going to press square and kill some wolves or whatever. Even something like Bloodborne, while some of those elements are there, when you ignore them, there's no punishment for it. Right?
Yeah.
You could just ignore leveling up for a little while and then go back to it later. And that's totally fine and that's okay. And you'll start to unlock those things at your own pace. And I feel like I'm encouraged by the interface to explore it on their pace and not my own.
Well, there's also just less of it. This is something that I think they pared down in Bloodborne.
You don't
which
want
is
like monster guts.
Yeah,
and some, like,
I mean, there's just
feathered
a lot of
headdress.
Different stuff. In Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, there were identical weapons that you would find, but they would have different stats. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of pared all that shit down.
Yeah.
Whereas The Witcher, all that stuff is still there, and it's not really clear, should I be selling or dismantling? There's not.
Well, that's where I go back to, maybe this game just isn't for me, right?
Yeah.
There are some people who, when they play Dungeons & Dragons, they play with weight encumbrance.
Mm-hmm.
And they want you to know, oh, you know what? You can pick up that gem, but you're going to be moving at half speed.
Yeah.
Or donning and doffing your armor. There are rules in D&D for how long it takes to take your armor off and put it back on again.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the D&D campaigns that I've played, that it never comes up. It's never oh, you were woken in the night. Do you want to take your armor, put your armor back on? Because that's going to take you 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or, oh, you're going to bed tonight? Well, if you want to sleep soundly and get a good night's rest, you better take off your armor. Like, none of that comes up. But there are those people who take it very, very seriously and play with that extreme set of rules.
Yeah.
I've never been one of those people because what I really want to do is, you know, partake in the adventure and not necessarily worry about all of that inventory management. So maybe this is just one of those games that says, you know what, this is for the people who love that kind of stuff,
yeah,
and this is for you.
Yeah, which I think is, I'm on the tipping point because I tend to, I'm okay with that sort of thing, and there are certain...
I've been meaning to say you're a bit of a hoarder, Scott. The doodads you have in this room, there's like a wall-mounted skull.
Yeah, my griffin head has really smelled ancient better days. Letters. I think I keep on going back to that griffin because it was one of the best experiences I've had so far, where like I was just riding around the countryside and I saw a cave and I just like, okay, I'll go in this cave. Mm-hmm. And then in the cave, I started using my Witcher sense, which, by the way, I know this makes me sound like a wuss or whatever, but I kind of get motion sickness from it.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a fisheye lens.
Yeah, it's this weird fisheye lens, and like the herky jerky animation of the game is still kind of weird. I feel like the... Yeah.
Well, you also just barf generally whenever you're investigating.
Whenever I'm curious. And then he was like, okay, well, there's a cockatrice in here. I need to flush him out. And the cockatrice was hiding in this dark cave. And, like, I didn't have anything to light. So I was just kind of scrapping around in the dark. And, like, I was able to fashion a bomb that flushed him out of an alternate route. And then I saw him out in the field. And then I was able to engage him and, like... Yeah. You know, mess around, use different spells to take him down eventually. And, you know, he was a much higher level than I was supposed to be fighting, but like with enough smart spell casting, you can do it. And it's that sort of thing. Okay, maybe I know what people are seeing in this game.
I mean, that is literally why people play open world games,
yeah,
because anything can happen.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the exciting. I mean, literally stories like that make me want to keep playing and dive right back in.
Because, yeah.
You know, the most exciting stories from Dragon Age were the same thing. Like, oh, I turned a bend and then fucking a dragon
yeah.
burned a field asunder or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, you're roaming Red Dead Redemption and you stumble upon this weird ghost man.
Yeah.
And it was a weird quest and stuff. I mean, those are the types of experiences that really drive me to want to play open world games.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just that I don't feel comfortable yet to experience that open world yet. Or maybe it just hasn't opened up yet.
I also want to complain about the fighting system.
Please do.
They do this weird... And again, this is something that Bloodborne has ruined us for. They do this weird thing where if you're fighting multiple enemies... In a battle, you kind of go into a stance, like a fighting stance.
Yeah.
But that is different from actually locking on to an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But in the fighting stance, you're kind of soft-locked on to enemies. Like, your character will kind of face the enemy... by default, but not as much as if you were hard locked onto
right.
an enemy.
Which I know that even in Bloodborne, you turned off that a lot. You would fight boss fights without locking onto
them,
right?
For sure. Like high level like Bloodborne play often requires you to like disengage the lock on. But there's only two states. It's locked on or not locked on. There's not this kind of like weird handicap state, and I find that it's just very hard to engage multiple people. Every battle tends to kind of devolve to like an Assassin's Creed style. I'm just going to hold the block button until I have my turn to attack. And
I mean,
it's like.
You can parry anything, like wolf bites and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of.
I mean, he's a witcher, I guess.
In the RP of it is fine. Like, he's a witcher, but like, I really got tired of like the Assassin's Creed. Like, I'm just going to hold the left bumper or the left shoulder button until someone attacks me. And then you're just. You're on this defensive mode where you're just waiting for someone to attack you and then you'll counterattack. Whereas, again, in Bloodborne, you have to be aggressive.
Right.
You know, and you have to give and take. Sometimes you have to be on the defense. Sometimes you have to determine when to parry. Whereas, like, we were just playing it and I defeated this guard by literally mashing the square button for 2 minutes straight.
Yeah.
Like, I backed him into a corner and just kept on going and going.
And he was like, you were level 4 and he was level 13.
Yeah. And it took me like 2 minutes, plus my sword is broken.
Yeah.
But like, it's that sort of thing where it's like, I feel like it is not quite up to par with actually being a fighting game.
I mean, but isn't this just the natural outcome of all open world games? Like, isn't this the closed door problem?
But I feel like with Red Dead, it's like it's a shooting game.
Mm, yeah.
And shooting games are more naturally shooting galleries. Like, you're going to be behind one piece of cover, the other guys are going to be behind another piece of cover. Like, that's the battle.
I just wonder, you know, how much are we allowed to forgive games that are so massive that sometimes this will happen?
I mean, that's the thing that I have been keeping in mind, where it's like, okay, this isn't Bloodborne. Like, this isn't a meticulously handcrafted experience. This is, like, this is an open-world game, and it's been a long time since I played an open-world game. Like, I didn't play Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
I didn't play the last Assassin's Creed. I didn't play the last two Assassin's Creeds.
Yeah, me neither.
So it's like, you have to adjust a little bit to just the general jankiness of an open-world game, just by its very nature.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I'm having to kind of keep that in mind and slowly readjust myself to that.
You know, I think that that period of readjustment, that's really interesting, and I think that that's partially why maybe I'm not taking to the game either, is that it takes longer than I expected to transition from Bloodborne to this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder, like, do you think that there are games that are good palate cleansers?
Yeah. Well, I, as I play this, I've been, like, kind of eyeing Splatoon and being like, maybe I should just play Splatoon instead, because, like, I'm almost certain that I will like that.
Yeah.
But it's totally different from Bloodborne, because it's like a shooter and like there's a bunch of other things.
That could be a good palate cleanser. You know?
I was thinking about playing something like Broken Age, like, because I haven't gotten around to that yet.
Oh, yeah, I haven't either. We should talk about that.
You just kind of have to, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's really hard to get out of that mindset, but for every once in a while, like, The Witcher will surprise me, and it's like, oh, this is actually a deep thing. Or, like, when I figured out how meditation works, it was really rewarding. I was like, man, my life doesn't regenerate for a long time.
Well, keep talking about The Witcher, though. I mean, meditation aside.
Meditation aside, yeah. I mean, like, so, like, things like the meditation thing, because you can restore your health like that. You can restore potions and stuff.
So I don't have to eat shit all the time?
No, you can just meditate and restore your health.
I've been, like, worried about how many fucking eggs I have in my inventory.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's stuff where it's like, oh, this is an open world game, but with some trappings of things that you just have to experiment with. And seeing it from that perspective has led to some rewarding things. Weirdly enough, we did this thought experiment before we record the podcast, where we just turned off the map.
Oh yeah.
And we were like, okay,
the mini map.
Yeah. How would this, cause I found myself just staring at the old open world problem of just staring at the mini map the whole time. And we turned it off for a while, which is actually, like, a pain in the ass, but it was kind of cool to, like, pay more attention to the landscape. Yeah. Like, okay, we saw a hill on the map, so we're going to need to think about this and, like, head east, and it's four houses down. Or,
okay,
like,
I'm gonna positively refer to a game for the first and last time ever.
Okay.
But I kind of like the way that Fable 2 did it.
Was this the crumbs?
With the crumb tray.
Wait, I thought you liked Fable 2.
I don't think I was that positive on Fable 2.
Never mind. Maybe that was a different game.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. The point is that sort of crumb trail where you could choose to turn off the mini-map. I don't even know if the game had a mini-map.
Yeah.
But once you had your mission set, there's a sort of a light glow to where you were going. That could be a relatively effective way without being an overbearing UI HUD.
Well, there's so much on the UI because you can... You see the herbs that are on the ground. You see the
dankest herbs, please.
The dankest caverns.
How do I
with
filter
their dank
out
herbs?
The dankest herbs?
You see the.
Well, you see weird stuff though. You see, like, that has a sun meter of, like, exactly what time it is, like, during the day. You've got how many feet till the next moment.
Yeah.
If you're riding on a horseback, do you really care how many steps it is to fucking the town of Jorgenberger?
Well, I mean, I think that's the readjustment to the open world concept.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, because almost every open world has some sort of. Some sort of distance tracker, and so it just feels weird to.
I feel like we need to rethink open world HUDs. Then, like, we got to think of something better.
I mean, it is interesting to think about because.
Well, what about Far Cry? I think that minimalist HUD is pretty great, right?
Yeah,
it's open world. You bring out your map. You can mark it. You can filter it.
But they mark things on the world itself.
In Far Cry, you mean?
Yeah. Whereas in The Witcher, they only mark it on the mini map.
Well, what if you only marked things when you went to that vision, like Batman, right?
Yeah, like
where it's like you tell yourself, I'm hunting boar today, so please only mark boar on the map because that's what you're attuned and paying attention to.
Yeah,
and that makes some RP sense, right? And then lets you minimize
sense
the HUD
or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be in it because the thing with Far Cry is that you can mark enemies, you can do things, but then
Fucking Komodo dragon will bite your face off out of nowhere.
You just kind of have to suspend disbelief that these things are not diegetic parts of the world.
Sure.
But The Witcher kind of wants to cram all the video gamey stuff into the corners instead, which I respect, but the game is just so enormous that it's hard to not have that stuff on, because it's like, I need to find the blacksmith in this town. This town is fucking huge.
Yeah.
And, like, the blacksmith is one guy.
And, like, you haven't even been to one of the major cities in the game, which is, like, Assassin's Creed level huge.
Yeah, yeah. And so I definitely sympathize with that, and I could see that perhaps if The Witcher was, like, your favorite game and one of the only games you played, playing it without a HUD would be incredible. Like, it would be an incredible experience, because you would just get to know that landscape
intimately.
I mean
you would feel like a witcher, right?
Yeah,
you would. Witching about day and night.
just witching,
doing your witching thing. What's up, girl? What you doing today? You know, witching. I guess it's witchering.
I think rethinking the open world game concept is something that is a pretty intriguing concept to me, like, because, you know, I think Watch Dogs was underwhelming to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think Assassin's Creed is basically such a known entity that it's boring to some people.
Yeah.
Far Cry is an interesting, but now that's like a formula. Like, it, you know, I don't know what the way forward is, but I do definitely think that it's not completely The Witcher's fault that I'm having a hard time playing it.
Yeah, I really don't want to disparage the game too much.
But to be fair, like, there are some things where it's, I just shake my head and it's like, why is it this way? Like, guys, what is going on? You know, like, why does this menu look like this? You know?
I
don't know. I'm definitely going to put a little bit more time into it, because every time I get frustrated, I just take a sharp left and, like, go do something else, and I kind of, like, reinvigorate myself
a
little bit.
That's kind of a good strategy, yeah. I mean, I think maybe I've been too distracted by Destiny also, because that expansion's out.
Also, like, it's not an open-world game, but it is one of those open-ended games.
Yeah.
You know, like, how does Destiny handle things like crafting and loot and stuff like that? Because, like...
Not well.
Well, I mean, it's, like, a bigger thing, where it's, like, how do we fill up these large worlds with stuff that people want to do?
Yeah.
And I think both Destiny and The Witcher struggle with that a little bit for people that aren't just the core audience of it.
Yeah, I think that's true, for sure. And I think I think it's similar to go back to the palette cleanser idea, that when you go from one game to another, especially if it's in a somewhat similar genre, it's not that you necessarily have high expectations, because I think I'm not expecting The Witcher to be like Bloodborne per se, but you're looking for that thing that will grip you, that sense of wonder that will keep me playing. And when you found it in another game, or when there's something compelling in another game, it's hard to convince yourself to keep looking.
Yeah.
Especially when you know it's as big as The Witcher. Because what if it doesn't come for another 10 hours?
Mm.
You know, like, it's just... And to know, well, you know, I could either invest 10 hours and hope I find what I'm looking for, or I'll just go play an hour of Destiny and watch some, you know, shitty TV show or something.
Right.
It's so easy to just set it aside and not commit. And it's kind of weird, because I feel like maybe I've lost my will to commit after Bloodborne, because you do have to commit so much.
It's definitely a fatiguing game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloodborne is, you mean.
Yeah, yeah. Both games, I think. Yeah, but I think...
It's, like, it's one of those, like, it's the feel-good tired, like after exercise or something. Right. Like, you feel really good about it, but... I'm not about to go fucking, like...
You're not going to run another 5 miles after you've run 10.
You don't go into the gym, leave and go, you know what would be great now is kayaking down a river. Like,
maybe you don't, but I got them gains.
I mean, you know, you're not willing to... I'm not ready to sign up yet. You know what I mean? Like, let me ease it back in. I'll come back to you, open world games.
One other thing before we wrap up that I noticed both from Destiny and Bloodborne is the social aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
What if we could play Witcher together?
You mean co-op?
Yeah, exactly.
I would definitely play more, for sure.
Because, like, maybe we're reaching that point. Maybe that's the savior of open world games. Like, maybe it's like, okay, well, we're going to roam the countryside together and, like, you know, you flush out the griffin while I'm waiting
You know what? Now that you mention it, I think that's 100% true. And I think it goes back to the conversation earlier about, like, joviality and fun and silliness.
Yeah.
Is in a world where that's super serious, if I have a friend doing it with me, that's where we can build in that sense of, like, just funny exploration and shooting the shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, Geralt might not have the conversation with Vesemir, but you and I could have that conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, even in Game of Thrones, you know, Jaime and Bronn are shooting the shit.
Yeah.
Doing their thing.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's a super hard problem, but, like, I think the the return on investment of graphics is like has peaked pretty hard, mm-hmm. but the return on investment in social features has not yet peaked. Yeah. And I think like that is an interesting thing to think about from an open world perspective.
Yeah, especially for open world games.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Red Dead Redemption 2, The Streets.
Red Dead Redemption 2, horsing around.
Oh, oh goodness.
All right. Well, before we get redder and deader, we'll leave it there.
The West was gunned.
I will invest a bit more time into The Witcher and see how far it takes me. But if we never talk about it again, you know that George and I just gave up on it. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our tiny medieval hovel in the middle of the swamps.
Yep.
Come by, leave us a review. It helps people find our little shack in the woods.
Yep.
Experience Points is where you can find us on iTunes and on Stitcher. We're also on Twitch. You might see us playing sometime.
Yep.
And YouTube, exp.net.
Right. All right, everyone. Until next time.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I didn't talk about beards. Oh, what about the beards?
You can shave and the beard grows back over the course of the game.
Who gives a fuck?
George, this is why I upgraded my video card.
You know what? To be weird, though, like, to be, like... I mean, to be fair, if this were a component in an MMO, I'd be like, hell yes. In a single player story, I just don't give a shit. All
right, well, I'm going to start growing my beard. And until next time.
What if you never grow? Will it be like Santa Claus? Is this like the natural, first you become a witcher, then you become...
He's a jolly old elf. We'll talk to you next week, everyone.
Bye.